Fab Sesmat Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Good Monday. Thanks for being with us. I was all over the Randy Johnson Hall of Fame. Actually, all of them yesterday. Spent a good part of my Sunday, middle of the day, just watching guys wax eloquently. It's not old man time. It's just there's something cool about guys you covered on a daily basis. For me, it was Randy Johnson. I was the guide before the games and after the games. It took your calls for the first 5 years of the Diamondbacks' existence. And when Randy pitched, I was the guy that had to analyze Randy Johnson, if you can do such a thing, and take it all in. So yesterday was pretty cool. It was actually more than cool when my daughter, who is now 19, wandered on in to sit and watch. And then she put out on social media watching Randy Johnson go into the Hall of Fame. He's always been my favorite Diamondback. It was one of those moments. I'm sure some of you were in the same boat. My wife was sitting there watching yesterday. So it was not just something that you do, that you just sit in your man cave and watch by yourself. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. Brad Sesmat with you. Todd Walsh will join us from Cooperstown, actually on his way out of Cooperstown with Fox Sports Arizona. He was back there over the last 3 days, giving great access to Randy. Jerry Colangelo is going to... Where is Jerry right now? Is he...
Jerry is probably somewhere up in the Catskill Mountains, making his way from Cooperstown to civilization where people can actually fly in and out of, which would probably be Albany or Syracuse.
So the he's not going to join us on the air phone?
No. He is...
No bat phones with Jerry.
Yeah, he is traveling to the airport. And yeah. We will catch him before he flies to wherever Jerry flies.
Well, you know, were you there with me yesterday? Not physically, but were you watching Randy yesterday and like your significant other or anybody that you knew that were sitting there watching it with you like, oh, this is so cool?
Loved it. Loved it because it was completely unfiltered and it was completely, I know it was to a point scripted, but it's just nice to see greats in a different capacity than after a game in front of a locker with a bunch of microphones around talking about why your pitch count was so high or the pitch you made in the sixth inning that got drilled for a grand slam. It was baseball is such a purist game.
Right.
And yesterday was like the quintessential peak of purity when it comes to baseball. That's exactly what Cooperstown is all about too.
Well, and here's the thing. We've never had this before. So this was a great event for everybody in the state or anybody taking us in from across the country or around the world that's a Diamondback fan. This has never happened before, so this was a first.
And it may not happen again. It might.
I think Goldschmidt's well on his way to becoming one of the best at his position to ever play the game.
It's tough to get in.
And also, you remember, it's the baseball writers. It's guys that can be curmudgeons.
Mm-hmm.
It's guys that consider and say, well, he blew me off. The great ones get it, that there's going to be nights like if you weren't blown off by Randy Johnson, then you just weren't. He would be there, but there were nights where he was not pleasant at all to deal with. But it's not like you walked out to your car. At least I didn't. It's not like I walked out of the car after a game and said, oh, I got yelled at by Randy. There's some guys that get out of this business because they get their feelings hurt because guys yell at them. It happens. They're competitive.
I got yelled at by you this morning, but I'm still here. I'm not going to lose any sleep over it.
I was not yelling. That was being very stern. I was lecturing. I wasn't wagging my finger or anything. So, no. I mean, you'll know when I'm yelling. I'll know when you're yelling.
You're not a big yeller anyway.
Nah, it depends. Ask my kids that. Ask my wife that. Ask the dog that. But, you know, I thought Randy's speech, so I saw on social media where some of you were not happy that he didn't analyze the Diamondbacks' time here more, that he kind of just went right through it. Some of you pointed out he didn't mention Alex Rodriguez when he went through all the great players that he was with the Seattle Mariners. And why didn't he do that when he was with the Diamondbacks? Well, he has a speech with the Diamondbacks in a couple of weeks, and maybe that's where he lets it all go. There's also that fear that you go up on stage and you start talking about people and then you forget somebody. And then you get done and it's like, oh my gosh, I didn't acknowledge this person. I didn't acknowledge that person. I had a situation like that just last month. It was an Arizona State event where there were hundreds of people in the room, and one of the nice people that organized the event got up on stage to thank everybody, and he forgot to thank one player in particular who happens to be in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. And he came over to me, the person who forgot to thank him, and he was humiliated. I went over to the person who he forgot to thank and said, hey, so we're going to thank you real quick. He's like, hey, Brad, it's no big deal. It's no big deal. It's no big deal. So, you know, Randy, he could have gone on and forgotten to mention this person or that person. I wasn't thinking of that. I did want to hear the name Damian Miller, and I did. He acknowledged his catchers. He even acknowledged Robbie Hammack, which I thought was pretty cool. So we'll talk more about yesterday, and we'll hear from Randy, too. I thought John Smoltz's speech was very good. He took the platform to talk about kids and overuse in baseball. Crazy parents, and some of you may be in that space right now where you think your kids just got to go play one sport. And I appreciated John Smoltz pointing out it's dead flat wrong to have that approach. I mean, some kids may make it, some kids may not. Some of you like to hold your kids back, even though they're really good academically, because you think you're going to have a competitive advantage, and you may. Doesn't mean that it's right for the kid. I've also seen it blow up in the faces of parents. So I like that John Smoltz went through that. Craig Biggio's speech was lost in the shuffle. I thought Biggio's speech was eloquent. Pedro Martinez was just funny. So it was a good time yesterday. Got some NFL to get into with camps opening up. The Junior Seau controversy with his daughter. We'll get into that. Quite a bit of college football as well. As we get off and running here for another week. Thursday and Friday, the show will be in L.A. for Pac-12 Football Media Day at the Warner Brothers Studios. We're looking forward to that with Arizona State and U of A, and plenty of content, of course, throughout the week on sports360az.com. Let's get you caught up on some things on my mind in the world of sports, brought to you by Santan Ford. Santan Ford, where it is all about you. Santan Ford experience. Day by day for me, that's how I live my lifestyle. It's my wife and her busy go here, go there. We have the Ford Explorer that made sense for us. We also have the Ford Fusion, the hybrid edition that I love to drive. I get compliments wherever I go. Two vehicles for the Sesmad household from Santan Ford. Now, how about you? Are you in the vehicle that makes the most sense for you? Some of you today, your kids went back to school today, or like me last week, or some of you in the next couple of weeks. Yeah, we're that way here in Arizona. We go back to school when it's July. How about that? Regardless, if you're looking for that vehicle, it may be a different space in life you're coming into. You may be entering that space of club sports, and you're going to need something with a little bit more room. You may have those 8-year-olds all the way up to 18-year-olds. You may be sending one off to college. Maybe you don't need that big vehicle anymore. Maybe it's time to get back into a car like I did with the Fusion Hybrid. Tim Hovick can take care of you, as can the rest of the staff at Santan Ford. Just off the Santan 202 in Val Vista, Santan Ford, where it is all about you. Todd Walsh from Cooperstown here in a few minutes. So the Diamondbacks on August 8th will retire Randy's number 51. Randy Johnson went out of his way yesterday to talk about his relationship with Jerry Colangelo. He talked about Ken Kendrick a little bit. I thought the stuff about Colangelo, though, was very, very good.
Then I became a free agent. Going back home to Arizona, meeting Jerry Colangelo. He had a vision for that baseball team in Arizona. I bought into it, and he believed in me.
So Jerry's vision, and we'll talk with him in about an hour, was to get Randy here. Eric gave the story last week where Jerry had been approached by Alan Nero, one of Randy's agents, a few years before Randy became a free agent. Randy wanted floor seats for the Suns. Jerry said, that's great. I may ask a favor of you. That led to them getting Randy signed. He wins a World Series. Jerry gets pushed out the door by ownership because they feel like he's spending too recklessly. You can debate that all day long. There's even people that suggest that the stadium was built too big. I don't know. You're going to sit here and poke holes in something that won a world title. Back off. Regardless, Randy went out of his way yesterday on Jerry, which I thought was appropriate. Here's a little bit more Randy Johnson, in case you missed it, on winning the World Series in 2001 here in Arizona.
So many of the reasons that I've been inducted in the Hall of Fame are long gone now. I no longer have a fastball. I no longer have a bad mullet. And my scowl is long gone. I'm so happy to be elected to the Baseball Hall of Fame and be in the greatest fraternity of all time.
So winning the World Series was part of it, and he had very, very good notes, lines there. I thought those were terrific lines. When he thanked his mom, if you missed it, go back and YouTube it. He thanked his mom. His dad passed away. His dad wasn't there. He did make a mention, pointed to the sky on him. When he talked about his mom and he became emotional about that, that's appropriate. His kids were there. There was nothing about his speech yesterday that really jumped out at me and said, wow, he missed it here. When he turned to Reggie Jackson and acknowledged Reggie, I thought that was pretty cool. Reggie had a rough weekend at Cooperstown. Some crazy fan wanted a piece of Reggie and more autographs, but you know, whatever. When will we see another player from Arizona? And I'll talk to Jerry about this, because Steve Nash will be the next one to go into the Hall of Fame. It'll be the Basketball Hall of Fame. Charles is already in. Jerry's already in. I don't see anybody over on the hockey side as great a career as Shane has had. Is Shane Doan a first ballot Hall of Famer in the National Hockey League? It's not taking a swipe at him, but I think it's very fair to wonder, given what's gone on here. He's been off the face of the planet for the last few years, the way the NHL works. So I took it all in yesterday, and I thought it was really, really good. The Diamondbacks, they played well over the weekend. Brad Ziegler, could he be the closer next year? He's, say, 15 straight. That's not his deal. But he's not a power closer, but the pitching was good. They took 3 of 4 from Milwaukee. They play at Seattle tonight. I'll talk further about this series because Trumbo's on the field tonight, and he hasn't done much of anything. Not done much of anything. So we'll get into that. I saw the end of the Cole Hamels no-hitter, if Cole Hamels goes to the Dodgers, it's another big step against the Diamondbacks. I was having dinner with a longtime sports guy in the Valley, widely regarded, widely respected, and the conversation is supposed to stay at the table, so I won't say who it was, but it was Saturday night. And we were talking about the possibility of teams like the Diamondbacks and the Coyotes and their long-term success, given what they're facing with other markets, and how the outlook from his view is bleak. I'm a tad more positive and optimistic about it. I'll get into that as the show moves on. Training camps opened the NFL over the weekend with the Vikings and Steelers. Adrian Peterson reported, and the fans were all excited. The players were all excited. Of course they are. He didn't want to talk to Peter King about anything that had happened in regards to the punishment with his kids, and he's back at it for the Vikings. That's a big story. The Steelers, they had a 4-hour wait to get into Steelers camp. 4 hours. But Tom Brady, the settlement talks are still going on, so why is this taking so long? I've got some thoughts on that. Talked to some people over the weekend on that front. The Cardinals open training camp this Saturday. Junior Seau's daughter not being given the chance to speak at the Pro Football Hall of Fame, and a lot of college football on my mind as well. But up next, we go back to Cooperstown. Todd Walsh, Fox Sports Arizona reporter, was there all weekend. He had great access with Randy. We'll get Todd's thoughts, views on the weekend. That's next.
Like our Facebook fan page for unique Arizona sports content from the high schools to the pros. Facebook.com/sports360AZ.
All right, let's go back out to New York now, because we've been doing a lot on the Randy Johnson Hall of Fame speech, and Todd Walsh was there, of course, Fox Sports Arizona. They did a great job. Get their perspective, his perspective on how Randy came across yesterday, which, as I said earlier, I felt as though was the genuine Randy Johnson. I have heard from some people that said, why didn't he acknowledge individual Diamondback players like he did with Seattle? I think that when you get into a time space like that and there's just so many places to go, you're not going to take care of everybody, and you're better off not mentioning one because then the others won't have their feelings hurt. I don't know. Todd, what do you think? Here's Todd Walsh.
Brad, I agree. I thought it was quintessential Randy Johnson. I didn't go there to see Randy stand up and tell jokes, be, you know, slapstick comedian. I think it was more about the gestures that Randy displayed, bringing Jerry Colangelo there, having a few select teammates from his college days, and acknowledging his mom, looking right at her and saying, I love you, and then bringing the Wounded Warriors there and getting a standing ovation, not just from the crowd in front of him, but the crowd behind him, the Hall of Famers. I talked to him after and again this morning as he was looking at his plaque. I said, you had a moment that's going to live forever. You did another quintessential baseball moment when you had 53 Hall of Famers standing up and applauding those Wounded Warriors. So for those, I have a real hard time with people grading a speech. It's the Hall of Fame. Sure. If you look closely at him, when he stood up, right before he started, he took a deep breath. And exhale, and I said today, I was just waiting for that glove to come up over your nose and the bridge of your nose. And it's that kind of focus that put him in that position. So that's who he was, and that's kind of how he delivered the message. And I wasn't going to sit there with a critical eye. I have spoken in a public setting like that with 20,000 people or with, 500, and it's not easy. So I think anyone that's going to waste time talking about how he gave the speech is missing the point. That's my opinion.
Yeah, well, and he did single out Damian Miller, as I've said, which was, I thought, a nice moment. Bob Brenly told us last week on the show, and the same with Steve Finley, they were hoping that Damian's name would be one that was brought up. But he mentioned other catchers that he was with, too. How much access did you have? I mean, were you able to follow him at all the places and all the things that he did?
Oh, yeah. The night before, there was a co-sponsored party by the Seattle Mariners and the Arizona Diamondbacks, which I thought was a fascinating display of how they kind of blended their celebration of him. And he was very relaxed at that. He spoke briefly. He was very, very eloquent about his mom and his dad, what he'd hoped to do at the speech. And there was a moment that sort of took the wind out of everybody when the CEO of the Mariners stood up and said, "Randy, we just want you to know that this team wouldn't probably still be in Seattle if not for what you did. And wow, we stand behind your decision to go in as an Arizona Diamondback." It was short and sweet to the point, and it was very, very powerful. And he was relaxed. I mean, there was other Hall of Famers there, and I had a chance to see him again this morning with his family when they finally got a chance to see the plaque, and he was really relaxed. He was talking about once the speech was over, he got to enjoy himself. He had a great time being around the other Hall of Famers. He said he had a great conversation with Steve Carlton today. And, to see him interact with them in the parade when he got out of the car and started signing autographs, to see the now budding vaudeville act of Pedro Martinez and Randy Johnson. I mean, he's enjoying this, and he's not the guy that we covered, but he's also said fully and completely, "I get that, and that's who I had to be." And he doesn't apologize for it, but I think he now has come to grips with the kind of guy that he had to be to do what he had to do every fifth day.
Yeah, the line about how he's lost the scowl and the mullet and all that was a terrific, terrific line, and just the way that he delivered it. We're talking with Todd Walsh, who's in Cooperstown. Sports 360 AZ, AZ Central Sports. We partner with the Arizona Republic. Todd there with Fox Sports Arizona, of course, covering Randy Johnson into the Hall of Fame yesterday, reliving what transpired. When he turned to Reggie Jackson and gave that little moment to Reggie during the speech, that was cool. You mentioned Steve Carlton earlier. Did you see some Hall of Famers that needed to get a piece of Randy Johnson, like sign this or please take a picture with me, where they were like little kids around him, or vice versa?
No, I didn't see that. In fact, I asked Randy before he went. We had a moment where we had a chance to talk to him one-on-one for the show that we're putting together. And I asked him, I'm like, "Hey, you're a collector. I've seen your collection." And he just laughed. He's like, "You think I'm going to go up on stage and ask Johnny Bench for his autograph?" No. Now that may have changed at the hotel, which was heavily guarded with security. I think the Hall of Famers, that may have gone on. He showed me something cool, and I don't think I'm violating his trust, but Cal Ripken took a couple of pictures of him from behind while he was giving his speech, and Randy was very excited and he blew it up with his iPhone, and he's like, "Look, that's my family. I'm looking right at my family." Mm. And this is a very, very emotional thing. And the other thing to think about, coming up in a few days, he's going to have his jersey retired in Arizona, and he's going to give another speech. And again, this isn't Bill Clinton or Jesse Jackson. This is Randy Johnson. But he's going to go up there, and I'm guessing it's going to be a lot more Arizona-centric as they're retiring his number. So there's another opportunity for him. I would just ask people to understand, who he is and how he delivers the message. But he was deeply, deeply moved by this moment, this experience, being around these people. He kept referring to the guys, as his brothers. He went out and did the golf tournament. We were there for that. And he hasn't golfed in a month of Sundays, but he went out there because he knew that all the other Hall of Famers were there. So he was trying to take part in it and, drink from a cup. And I think he realizes that there's been an incredible bow on his career. It's really, Ken Kendrick gave a really cool speech where he talked about how Randy went to his first tryout as an 8-year-old and was intimidated so much that he walked home. and his mom put him in his car, put him in her car, and drove him back.
Right.
So that, you know, the gist of the speech was here he was being intimidated, and now he's the intimidator. But I think at this point, it's sort of the pendulum swung again, where he understands the greatness that was around him. And like, I think there was some sobering moments when Hall of Fame pitchers looked to him over the weekend and said, "Do you know how good you really were?" You know, I don't know if he has. I know he knows, but I don't know if you really feel that. I don't know how that. I don't know how that works in your mind. I'll never get to that point. But I don't know how you. I don't know how you land that plane. I really don't.
Well, and one other thought that I saw from afar was, he had his camera with him the whole time. He was taking pictures from his platform on the parade route and other places, which I thought was pretty cool. That, yeah, this is who I am now. I'm a photographer, so I'm gonna snap all this myself, even when I'm the one being honored.
Yes, and he, you know, he was telling us that he goofed up some of the video on the parade route because he was so into it, and you know, feeling all that adoration. I know there was a plan for a selfie on the stage, but I think he abandoned that. I didn't ask him that. He didn't do it, so it didn't happen. But he said once he was done speaking, it was a lot easier, and he started taking more and more pictures. You know, he made it clear in his speech he's a photographer. Something that hit him when he was at USC, and you know, like I said to him afterwards when we talked to him, like, I know this is the quote-unquote end of this portion of the ride, but he's not going away. I mean, there's a quest to be the best at everything he does and have the kind of access. He was pimping his Instagram account. That's where he's going now. That's what he wants to do.
That's where everybody's going. Before I let you go, what was your moment from the weekend? It may not have been a Randy moment. What was just your moment? You may be a guy that's seen him a lot, been to a lot of things, done a lot of cool stories. What was your moment from the weekend?
Well, it was highly personal, and I hadn't been to the Hall of Fame in 40 years. My mom was the one that took me there in 1974, driving from Rochester, New York, and telling me that I had to wait patiently till I could experience it and appreciate it. You know, I wanted to go as an 8-year-old, a 9-year-old, a 10-year-old, and finally, I think it was maybe a little later, 75 or so, but anyways, we got in the car and drove by. I remember hyperventilating when I was a kid, just getting there, and then when I got out of the car, things, while they had changed, were still very much the same, and there were a couple of stores that I went in that were still the same, and then this morning when we left Doubleday Field, there was a batting cage that I remember. Now I understand what my mom was doing, but she would parade me around the Hall of Fame and allow me to buy, you know, baseball cards, photos, and drink soda all day, and I was wound up tighter than a drum, and she would give me a roll of quarters. There's a little batting cage right by Doubleday Field, and she would just let me go in there and hit, and that was the last thing I did this morning. I thought of her, and I talked to Randy's mom today, and I lost my mom a few months ago, and I just said, look, I was thinking of you when Randy looked to you and said, I love you, Mom, and that one went right through me. I definitely had a moment yesterday where I felt like this was a part of my journey to come back. I never thought I'd be to Cooperstown again. I never thought I'd be upstate New York again. So, yes, that was clearly a moment that I kind of left myself drift away to, and I'm glad I did.
Yeah, no, that's cool. That's cool. I appreciate you sharing your time and your stories with us. As always, safe travels. Thanks.
All right, Brad. Take care.
You too. There's Todd Walsh for a couple of minutes. Fox Sports Arizona in Cooperstown with Randy Johnson. Sports360AZ.com is our content. That's where we go to the site. Check it out yourself. We partner with the Arizona Republic AZ Central Sports day in and day out. Appreciate the partnership there. On the other side, we're going to shift gears over to the college football scene later this week, Pac-12 Football Media Day, and some news out of Oregon about their star quarterback to be USC, UCLA. We look at it from the Arizona State and U of A angles. That's on the other side. Stay with us. So the Cardinals go to training camp Saturday of this week. Earlier in the week, Thursday and Friday, we'll be in Los Angeles, actually over in Burbank at Warner Brothers Studios for Pac-12 Football Media Day. We'll have plenty of contents on sports360az.com. Brad Sussmat with you. We partner with the Arizona Republic AZ Central Sports day in and day out as well. As the week progresses, we'll get more and more into the Cardinals. There's some other things that are of interest to me today. Tom Brady has yet to be told what is going on with his situation and his appeal and his suspension. The Players Union, the NFL, are trying to reach a settlement to resolve the Tom Brady suspension. Is that settlement revolving around Tom Brady saying, yeah, I did do this, and him saying, no, there's no way I'm going to admit to this. The only thing that I've done, if I'm Tom Brady, is I didn't give up my cell phone. So I haven't assisted you. That's the only thing. It's the only thing. So this is still going on. We're still waiting on that front. If we have to do another Fabiano show, Eric, this week, around Tom Brady, I think Michael's head's going to explode.
Yeah, and he even said, like, the people at the NFL Network are waiting, too. I mean, everyone's asking him, so what's going to happen with Brady? And he's like, look, right now it's four games.
Yeah.
Until that changes, here's my analysis.
So we're going to dinner with him, right?
It's being efforted, yes.
Is it being efforted?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right. He's a busy guy. So.
Well, here's the thing. If it comes down to Brady's deal being ruled on or us, he's got to choose us. That's the thing.
I don't think
he's got to know that.
I don't think he will, but
you think that'll be a problem?
That'll be one of your projects.
It'll be one of my things. Yeah, that'll be a negotiation.
But hopefully, you can catch up with him. You know?
Yeah, no,
we're
gonna
be out there. You might as well.
It'll be fun.
Go somewhere nice. Have him run up a bill on the company.
Go to Tommy's.
Yeah, great.
You know, double extra chili. We'll be going. Good. Junior Seau. So yeah, growing up in San Diego, and if you don't know the backstory, I do have a backstory with Junior Seau. When I was a senior in high school and he was a freshman at Oceanside High School, he decided I was not going to make a dunk at Oceanside High School. And he made sure of that as I was going up to try to make a dunk, and it injured me. And so I'm sitting here rather than continuing. I'm not going to blame it all on Junior. And the funny part is I actually hosted his show later on and his broadcast career started to unfold. But so we go way back, or went way back is the right way to put it. So this story does carry a little bit more of interest to me. The Hall of Fame for the NFL is coming up this week. And in the New York Times over the weekend, Sidney Seau, the daughter of the late linebacker, was quoted as saying she was disappointed she wouldn't be able to give the speech that she wanted to give at his Hall of Fame induction. Actually, it's August 9th. Let me correct myself. On August 9th. So there were protests, and this was all over social media starting on Friday, about Junior Seau's daughter not being allowed to give an acceptance speech. Peter King went out of his way in today's Monday Morning Quarterback to go deeper on this. And Peter is actually one of the 46 selectors, voters of the Hall of Fame. The way that it works, in 2010, the Pro Football Hall of Fame changed its policy back in 2010. For inductees who have died, they would have a 5 to 6 minute introduction featuring the person designated by the family to introduce the honoree. No acceptance speech. Then the unveiling of the Hall of Fame bust. In 2009, this goes all the way back to the late Derek Thomas around Junior Seau. In 2009, Derek Thomas's designated speaker, Carl Peterson, talked for 26 minutes in his pinch hitting acceptance speech. And the Hall and television said that the speeches need to be reined in. So the video introductions were made to feature and to feature the chosen presenters, and then the presenters would not speak live. There is a theory out there that the NFL does not want Sidney Seau to speak about her father because she'll talk about concussions. There's a reason why Junior shot himself in the chest rather than in the brain. He wanted to preserve the brain, which would be studied because of the concussion issue, which is a real hot button with the NFL. Jim Trotter, who's very, very good, was just coming on the scene when I left San Diego 21 years ago now. He's a Hall of Fame voter. He covered Junior. He knows the family. He's got a book on Seau that's coming out.
That's going to be good. It's like when I saw that that book was coming out, I put that on my to-do list to grab that because obviously, growing up a Charger fan, I love Junior Seau too, and I still have a bunch of cool signed stuff in my house from Junior Seau that I looked at the other day and kind of reflected back on his career.
When he was at Oceanside High School, as a freshman, he was towering over people. He played wide receiver in high school, if you can imagine. Okay, so
scary.
Yeah, and then in basketball, he just was a big kid who didn't really have much control over his body. I'm living proof of that. And then he went to USC. Lee Steinberg represented him for a short period. The Chargers draft Junior. Junior ends up dating and marrying one of the Charger PR girls, Gina, who he knew. And, you know, the rest is history. He was just such a larger-than-life figure in San Diego. And last year when San Diego lost Tony Gwynn and Junior Seau in the last couple of years.
Tough.
There's no other way. I'm not even going to throw names out here in Phoenix of what that would be like. But that's just, think of it.
Yeah, way too early on both.
Two guys way too early.
Same generation. I mean, Gwynn maybe a little bit older. Yeah, Gwynn a little bit older, but not much.
But not much. And if you were growing up and Tony Gwynn was around and Junior Seau was around, if you could get those two together, you did not have very much room on a microphone. You just kind of, I don't know, you kind of sat back and just let them do their thing. But so the video, from my understanding, and Peter wrote about it, and some others I talked to back in San Diego about this whole story over the weekend, Sydney Seau speaks very often, and she ends it by saying, and I'm paraphrasing, but it will be something like this: it's my honor to present my father, Junior Seau, for induction to the Pro Football Hall of Fame. So you're going to want to hear more of this, I am sure. There's not going to be any mention of how Junior drove his Jeep off of a cliff in Carlsbad. There's not going to be any mention of how he took his life. There's not going to be any mention of people that would run into him, and he was a shell of himself at times towards the end. It's much like nobody wants to remember that Tony's lip was bright pink from chewing. If you're dipping right now, go look at what Tony Gwynn did. And if you get mad at me about it, it's just a fact. You know, his face basically dissolved. And I was a lot closer with Tony than I was Junior. It wasn't that we weren't close. It's just you cover these guys. But Tony and I actually did broadcast work together. So, and I did some with Junior, but it was just the Junior Seau show. I think that's going to be a tough one. Like Derek Thomas was a tough one, and the way that Derek Thomas passed away and trying to save someone and automobile accidents. And I mean, there's just these guys that get taken too soon. And in Junior's case, that's going to be a tough one. Beyond that, in the NFL, right now, things that are going on this week, Russell Wilson is going to be on the front burner, and this will be of interest to you Arizona Cardinal fans. How does Russell Wilson and his contract come into play? If you're a Cardinal fan, really there's nothing that interesting about this training camp. Is there? I mean, you get excited as a fan, I'm sure. I'm sure you guys are all excited about it. But there's no big question marks. It's not like you're looking at it saying, okay, Jermaine Gresham, they sign him over the weekend. It's a tight end. You hope he's more involved in the offense. This is a real simple team to talk about. If Carson Palmer stands upright, they're going to win. If he doesn't stand upright, they're not going to win. That's it. This comes down to signing a Upati. Okay. This comes down to how they've bolstered the offensive line the last couple of years. This is not question marks all over the field. I mean, they're going to have those. Yeah, you're going to have a different defensive coordinator. We'll see if that really is the change of this team. But it's not like you've got a laundry list. If this is the 49ers camp, you could go all day with how about this guy and how about this guy and how about this guy. On the other side, college football front and center. This will be a big week. It really gets started. Pac-12 Football Media Day, Thursday and Friday. And for Arizona State and Arizona, there is reason for optimism. There's also some concern up in Oregon today about their big-time transfer quarterback. I'll explain that and more as we continue on. You know, the good thing is I was talking about the Cardinals and how there aren't not a lot of questions. Would you agree with that, Eric? Like, this is a training camp that gets started Saturday where you're it's kind of straightforward. Let's just get to the regular season here.
Yeah, can Carson Palmer stay healthy?
That's it.
And it's interesting because this year, Brad, the two Cardinal preseason meaningless games in Glendale are the first two instead of the second and the fourth or the first and the third. So you're not going to get a lot of intrigue with the first two preseason games being here.
You're not going to get any intrigue in any of those games. You know how I am about that.
Yeah, but at least if the third preseason game is here, the starters play
a little bit. It's
a little
fine.
Bit. It's fine.
If you're Bruce Arians, though, why do you even need to throw Carson out there? You need to throw him for a few series, and that's it.
That's
just turn
it.
Around, hand the football off, couple quick slants, call it a day. Mm-hmm. Done. No, but, I mean, imagine if you're sitting in Jacksonville. You know, you're going to get your head kicked in. What's the point of that? If you're sitting in Cleveland, you're going to lose again. You got to sit there and put up with Johnny Manziel. If you're a Cowboy fan, you're going to go out to Thousand Oaks, and that'll be fine. And The Cowboys should have a good season. If you're a 49er fan.
Yeah, you're going to need a roster if you're a 49er fan.
If you're a 49er fan, yeah. I mean,
lots of fresh faces.
If you're a Packer fan, you know what you have. You know, there's going to be some position battles there, but if this situation here is really, to me, because they didn't do anything different at quarterback. So I'm looking forward to that.
And keeping guys healthy. I mean, just like what happened. Well, but I mean, what happened last year with Dockett? It can happen.
It can
happen. These guys are still athletes that are playing.
They still
hard.
Made the playoffs. They still made the playoffs. It wasn't like it was this death blow that we all sat here, oh my gosh, what are they going to do? Well, they seem to do okay. Now let's go over to some college football stuff because Thursday and Friday we're going to be out of Pac-12 Football Media Day. And I think there's a lot of questions, obviously, for Arizona State. We have had several experts on. Charles Davis last week thinks Mike Bercovici is the kind of the dark horse quarterback in the Pac-12 conference, that there's been so much made out of Cody Kessler over at USC and Kevin Hogan up at Stanford, although it's not a guarantee that he'll start. Josh Rosen of UCLA, I'm going to talk about him here in a couple minutes. But the big story this week, and actually I think nationally, is up at Oregon, where it came out over the weekend that Vernon Adams, this transfer that everybody was raving about and then also complaining about because Oregon couldn't find their own quarterback, so they went and poached him, he's not going to be ready to go for the first 3 days of camp. It's the proviso here. So he's going to miss the first 3 days of camp because he's got to complete a math class. Completes the math class, then he gets his Eastern Washington University degree. He did walk at the Eastern Washington University graduation in June. This guy's a fifth-year senior, but he can't go on the field because of this. He did sign a financial aid agreement right after Marcus Mariota went to the draft. Threw 110 touchdowns, 31 picks. That's a lot of picks. Bad weather, though, completed 64% of his passes. The other interesting story about this is, while that kid right there, Vernon Adams, is expected to be, and nothing's wrong with your set if you're watching the red turf, there's not blood all over the field.
It's just so bad.
Just the way they play.
Get rid of it.
But Jeff Lockie is the guy on Oregon's roster currently. Okay. This kid, Jeff Lockie, wants to be the starter. He actually went to the Manning Passing Academy 7-on-7 camp here recently. So they've got a bit of a quarterback situation. Adams not going to be ready to go the first 3 days. Does that make that big of a difference? Mark Helfrich has not named the starter. So this coming week, when we are out at Pac-12 Football Media Day and we see Mark Helfrich, he's going to be peppered with this. And nationally, this is going to be the story. Oh, my gosh, he's going to miss the first 3 days. I think it's kind of interesting the backup went to the Manning camp. Like, he's not going to just throw this away. Josh Rosen over at UCLA. So, Eric, you and I love college football. But if we were to go through the list of quarterbacks as freshmen, true freshmen, who came in and just killed it as true freshmen, how often do they do that? And if you're Arizona State and you're looking at UCLA on your side in the Pac-12 South, Robert Griffin III, did he kill it when he showed up at Baylor?
No.
Did Teddy Bridgewater kill it when he showed up at Louisville?
I don't remember.
I think Matt Barkley, when he showed up at USC, is a pretty darn big deal, and he was able to get it done, right? When Terrell Pryor showed up at Ohio State, Braxton Miller showed up at Ohio State. The point of this little rant is, if you're an Arizona Wildcat fan or you're an Arizona State Sun Devil fan, and you see that everybody's poking and picking USC and UCLA to finish in front of you, and you're sitting over here in this state saying, I don't know, we're U of A. We went to the Fiesta Bowl. Yeah, Anu Solomon did not play well in the bowl game, and he was beat up at the end. But we're bringing him back. If you're Arizona State, I don't know, maybe Todd Graham should have not played Taylor Kelly in the bowl game and should have played Bercovici much more at the Oregon State game. That's where everything fell apart. Second half of the Oregon State game. I was there freezing my patootie off. It was so cold.
Yeah,
that
game
night.
Started at like 9:47 Phoenix time, something ridiculous.
And that night, it was no secret that there was a conversation between Todd Graham and Mike Norvell, and it just didn't go the way of let's put Burko in and let's set Taylor down. Didn't happen. Jalen gets concussed. The rest is history, I think. So Is UCLA all that with Josh Rosen? He's not been named the starter, but he's the guy that you're going to look at and say, okay, is he going to get it done? Christian Hackenberg, Penn State, a couple of years ago. So I'm looking at those two stories, and I think those are two that really jump out at me when we go out to Los Angeles. Jerry Colangelo is going to join us in a couple of minutes. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. Jerry just leaving Cooperstown and is going to join us on Randy Johnson and what he saw there yesterday and some of the festivities over the weekend. And that's next. Stick with us.
Then I became a free agent, going back home to Arizona, meeting Jerry Colangelo. He had a vision for that baseball team in Arizona. I bought into it, and he believed in me.
Off we go in hour number two, sports360az.com. Brad Sussmat with you. We partner with the Arizona Republic. Arizona Republic came after me about 16 months ago and said, we see you're going digital. That's where the world is going. Let's partner with you. We're actually about to expand our partnership with them as they continue with us. We appreciate their support. Hour number two, Jerry Colangelo joins us now. From Cooperstown, actually outside of Cooperstown. He was there for the Hall of Fame. When you heard Randy, and I appreciate you coming on board, Jerry, when you heard Randy mention your name, what were you thinking?
Well, Randy is Randy's a different person than he was when we knew him back in his throwing days with us in Arizona. He's, I'll say he's mellowed quite a bit. He's really thinking about a lot of things, including people who he has indicated have helped him in his career. And it was very thoughtful of him to mention my name when he was addressing, you know, some of those points and some of the individuals who he felt helped him along the way.
You've obviously are part of the Basketball Hall of Fame, and you've seen players of yours go into the Basketball Hall of Fame. Was it any different yesterday seeing a player go into the Baseball Hall of Fame for you?
Well, obviously, as chairman of the Basketball Hall of Fame, and we have our induction ceremonies, I was kind of looking at it yesterday. I've been there once before for an induction some years ago. Just making comparisons, it's apples and oranges. It really is. We condense our induction into an hour TV show, and we were sitting out in the sun for 4.5 hours while this whole thing was unfolding. But no one cared. I mean, no one was upset about it's a good thing it didn't rain. That might have been a little bit different. But, there were over 50 Hall of Famers there, and a number of whom I know. And I had a chance to, visit a little bit with half of them at least.
Yeah.
And it was fun. It was Cooperstown is a great place to visit. It's a terrific legacy program for the game of baseball. And, there's only 2,000 people who live in the town. And yesterday there were 60 or 70,000 people milling around, which gives you an idea of the carnival atmosphere it must have been.
Well, it sounds like when you're there for 4 hours, it's just kind of like a baseball game, that it fits the mold, it fits the model. There's no time. You don't sit there and look at your watch and say, all right, let's get out of here. It's been 2 hours and 20 minutes for an NBA game, right?
Well, what's funny? Some of the guys who, never spent a lot of time giving interviews you can't get them away from the mic because there's no time limit. They just rolled on and rolled on, but it was great. I mean, I think it was very touching to hear Greg Biscio and John Schmoltz and Pedro was having a ball.
Yeah.
It seemed like half of the Dominican was there in the audience because he had so many people come up, friends and relatives. And he put on a show. He really did.
Jerry Colangelo joining us, Valley Sports icon, former Diamondbacks owner. He was there yesterday at Cooperstown watching Randy Johnson going to the Baseball Hall of Fame with Brad Sussmat. If you could elaborate a little further about how different Randy is now, you touched on it briefly in the beginning, Jerry. What is it you see about him? From my view, just watching him yesterday, there was still some of the Randy in the way that he took a big, deep breath when he walked up to the podium. Like, okay, I've got to go do my job now. But then he did relax and open himself up a little bit. What do you see different in him now?
Well, first of all, I think that deep breath was nothing more than he was nervous. He wanted to do well up in with the mic in front of him, and he had practiced quite a bit, you know, and he was a little nervous about it. The difference is, as an athlete, he was wound up like a top. He had an edge, as you know, as we all know who were around him. Mm-hmm. But that made him who he was. He was wired that way. And he would be the first to say to you, had he not been that way, he doesn't think he would have accomplished what he did. And so now that it's over and he's had time to reflect on his life and his career, he's just a different guy. He's mellowed. That's the best way I would put it.
Did you ever try to talk him out of being as wired? I mean, to say, hey, you need to relax a little bit. Did you ever do that?
I didn't try to talk him out of anything. What I tried to do is be available to him when he had needs. And he had needs. You know, he needed someone he trusted, someone he believed in. Mm-hmm. And there were many conversations where, you know, my job was to keep him kind of on the straight and narrow and, you know, looking forward to getting his job done and being a good teammate and so on and so forth.
All right. Everything else good? You're doing USA basketball tryouts in Vegas? Is it a little mini camp, something like that, right?
Coming up August 10th. We'll be in Las Vegas for 4 days for camp, and looking forward to that. We'll have a lot of players in because it's as much about gathering together, a reunion of sorts, mm-hmm. Very informal, non-contact workouts. A lot of players are injured and need to take care of their injuries this off season, but it's also an indication of who's with us and who isn't as we go forward to the Olympics next summer.
It's really hard, Jerry, to look at, like, Damian Lillard's name's been in the news over the weekend, but you look at the guards and how do you even choose four guards? There's just so many guards, but you still want to see somebody there like that. And then you have Kevin Durant coming off of an injury. So I would think in your shoes, it just would be a balancing act with all these personalities.
It is. There's no doubt about it. But I think they now understand, I really do, just the invitation, just being part of USA Basketball, being on the national team roster mm-hmm. is really something very special. They know that only 12 are going to be selected, and that's the luck of the draw. Injuries play a role. We've had a lot of different players represent us in the last decade, and we've been successful in each case. And I think we have a chance here, if injuries don't play a significant role, to have maybe the best team we've ever had.
Lastly, last time you and I spoke about a month ago, it was about the Coyotes and their situation. They come to an agreement for 2 years with Glendale. Building what's going to happen in the future, what's your thought on the Coyotes and their situation now that this has moved forward another step with Glendale?
Well, I'm not privy to what's really happening as it relates to a new building. I know there's a lot of discussions going on with the Suns and the city and other entities, I'm sure, mm-hmm. and that's exactly what should be going on. Whether or not the Coyotes fit into that remain to be seen. I mean, obviously, if I read this correctly, in 2 years, they're kind of free to do what they wish.
Right.
And be a free agent. So, on one hand, I guess Glendale feels they're off the hook for the amount of money they've been, you know, giving the hockey team each year. On the other hand, it might be a license to say, you know, I'm out there looking for a better place to go. So it's too early to project what's going to happen. Certainly, if a new facility was in the future, a certain facility mm-hmm. That included them, then that's a legitimate reason to stay.
You're a visionary, and from your view, is it time for a new facility of any sort, any magnitude for a professional sports franchise here in the Valley? I have fans that say, U.S. Airways isn't that old. We have jobbing.com. Are there too many facilities, or Gila River, I should call it? Do you think it's time for a new facility, Jerry?
Well, I'm not going to say whether it's time or not. The reality is, when you're 25 years old as a facility, you automatically are one of the oldest buildings in your league, regardless of the sport. And what has been happening around the country is that new facilities come online after 25 years or thereabouts. Mm-hmm. So that's where we're headed, in my opinion. That doesn't make it wrong. It's just a fact of life.
Our mutual friend Paula Bovin did a profile on you that we're going to read in the Republic, I think, in the next week or so in Chicago, right?
She and I were traveling in the old neighborhood last week for a day and a half, and she saw all of my old haunts in the old Italian neighborhood.
Oof.
She enjoyed it very, very much, and we'll see how that all works out, but I enjoyed spending time with her.
Good, good. Stay well. Appreciate the time, as always. Safe travels. Thanks.
Take care, Brent.
See you. There's Jerry Colangelo, who was in Cooperstown for Randy Johnson yesterday.